Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, the National Rape Crisis Helpline has recorded over 18,600 contacts last year. That's the highest level ever in the history of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. And this new data follow comments from both the Taoiseach and the Justice Minister that we're experiencing an epidemic of gender-based violence in this country. Stephanie O'Keefe is the CEO of Cúan, the new domestic, sexual and gender-based violence agency, and she joins me now on the line. Stephanie, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
I'm keen to talk to you because your new agency, Cúan, as I say, has been in operation since February, and your aim, am I right, is to lead the government's zero tolerance strategy for domestic and sexual and gender-based violence.
That's right. So the whole of government, whole of society is the strategy, informed by the four pillars of the Istanbul Convention. So our job is to drive and coordinate the actions underneath those pillars to prevent sexual and gender-based violence, to protect those who are victims and survivors of it, to address issues in the prosecution pillar so that there is kind of to vindicate the rights of victims and survivors through judicial proceedings and consistent enforcement of the law. And then there's policy coordination. And our job is to take that strategy, the zero tolerance strategy, and to implement it across government statutory and non-statutory partners and with the wider DSGBV sector and with victims and survivors themselves.
Okay, so it's really multifaceted, Stephanie, and a huge body of work. I was looking through your implementation plan and the four pillars that you just mentioned there. And the first one is prevention, you say. And you say in the implementation plan that the goal is to work towards the eradication of the social and cultural norms that underpin and contribute to gender-based violence. So what are those social and cultural norms that contribute to the violence?
Well, social and cultural norms that accept or tolerate domestic, sexual and gender-based violence that really have been there for a very long time. And we've made so much progress as a society in terms of gender equality and legislation that protects women, men and other victims in this area. But unfortunately, and it was discussed at that launch this morning of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre's annual report, as many, many challenges are being met and life is much better and fairer for people and people are protected. Unfortunately, we've been faced with new ones, particularly those emerging in the area of technology and the media space, where some of those challenges are creating problems for us at a faster pace than the speed of regulation. So there's quite a lot of work for us to do now. Fortunately, the national strategy, which is whole of government, so it involves all government departments and other statutory agencies and whole of society, sets out through a thorough kind of evidence base what it is that we need to do.
Okay, but can I just stop you there? In terms of the social and cultural norms, could you spell it out for me a little bit? What are they? Are they the things we previously discussed in this programme, for example, the misogynistic jokes, the jokes about violence towards women, if there are such, and then people stand by and allow that to go unchecked? Is that the kind of stuff you're on about? And how do you eradicate that then?
It's a very difficult, that is the stuff that we're on about. So we're talking about kind of misogyny and toxic forms of masculinity that are finding kind of more of a voice and an influence in recent times than even they ever have been in the past. Mm-hmm. And it is very difficult to eradicate. So the strategy talks about the critical importance of education in all of its forms, and the importance of us looking at the whole area of social media, because that's a kind of a forum that allows that type of thing to thrive. Mm. Also, victims and survivors' voices talking about these things. What's happened over the last week is really important in that regard, because you can see the public outcry and the response and the intolerance of what, for example, Natasha O'Brien has gone through and other victims speaking at that event today. It's really important that we amplify the voices of victims and survivors, and that people, families, communities, schools, workplaces, send a really strong message that is heard by perpetrators that sexual violence simply will not be tolerated, and the full gamut of the law will be put into effect in order to protect survivors and victims. And again, we've a lot of work to do there.
And it's really difficult in the social media space, where you might put forward ideas or education in the Irish context, but misogyny might come from outside the borders of Ireland. It's very difficult to regulate, but people speaking up, as you say, like Natasha O'Brien, is powerful without question. Another goal you have in the strategy or the plan is to ensure that victims or survivors, both adults and children, you say, have immediate and longer term access to safety, support and advocacy they need, with agencies held accountable for the protection of victims or survivors. What agencies are you talking about there?
So there's a whole lot of organisations, about 60 organisations now, the Cúan funds, you know, ranging from the kind of large organisations that provide 24/7 helpline services to organisations that provide court accompaniment and support for victims and survivors, both children and women and men, any victim or survivor. And then there's also the agencies of the state, whether that's An Garda Síochána, whether it's the court service, whether it's the prosecution and the probation service, and indeed government departments where they have a role in relation to this.
What about judges?
All elements of the judiciary have got a role in relation to prevention, in relation to protection, in relation to prosecution, and indeed in relation to policy.
Because you say that in the justice, legal and policing systems, you ensure to that they have the skills and analysis of gender-based violence and the impact and the roots of it, that they all understand. Do you think there is an understanding there of the impact of gender-based violence?
I think that when you meet with services on the ground, that when you talk to people who've been through this system, and when you talk to those that are out there educating, both even within An Garda Síochána and in all of the other agencies, that they would all recognise that there's an awful lot more work to do. But I think what's really important, we're kind of 2.5 years into the strategy now, and certainly my sense since taking up the role is that there's a huge amount of work that's after being mobilised, but we have a very long road to go. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of Cúan is to try and look at that and to really drive it and quicken the pace of implementation, and also to be able to put in place the data that allows us to stand back and say, is any of it making any difference? So what data can we make publicly available to demonstrate whether or not the actions being undertaken in those pillars is having any impact at all? But certainly education and training, to your question, right across the judiciary and everybody who's involved in the criminal justice process, is critical.
And have all of those people that you mentioned been engaging with you since February?
Yes, we've had very substantial number of meetings with all of the organisations and agencies working in this area. There's quite a number of them, and I'm very optimistic in terms of the level of buy-in. And of course, we've had very significant political sponsorship. I mean, one of the critical success factors for implementing these kinds of strategies is political leadership, government sponsorship, that allows us then to do the mobilisation piece underneath that.
Okay.
And that is certainly there.
Okay. If a woman or a family is in a situation of domestic violence, for example, or gender-based violence, one of the ways they can get out of that situation is to go to a refuge. Now, at the moment, Stephanie, there are 20 towns in Ireland that do not have any domestic violence refuge at all. How and when should that be eradicated in itself? I mean, I'm sure the solution is to have as many refuge centres as possible. I mean, how do you stop that problem?
Yeah, so I think that there's a programme of work there to double the amount of refuges and units by the end of the implementation of the strategy. So we're currently looking at that now to see how can we, again, quicken the pace of that. And there's a very kind of strong partnership structure at local level that enables this to happen at the Department of Housing and local authorities and the housing agency. And progress has been made. It's been slow, but we are really working to see if we can increase it. But the piece that's very important at either side of that is that refuge is about emergency accommodation, and we need to make sure that the flow is correct so that people can actually, number one, stay safe in their own homes and secure in their own home. That's the first thing that we, Cúan, need to do with others to make sure more of that happens, and get access by creating more capacity in terms of refuge accommodation for when that emergency space is needed.
And why is that so slow? Why is that so slow? Because an audit carried out by TUSA says we only have 141 refuge spaces in the country. And yet, under a European domestic violence treaty, we should have one refuge space for every 10,000 people. I think we're very far behind, aren't we?
Yeah, we are behind now. We have 150 units at the moment, another 12 with another opening this year and another two in construction. And that would mean that next year we would have to have 98 in construction in order to meet the goal of 280. So, like, you're right that this does need to happen kind of faster. But there is a kind of a complex piece of work that needs to happen at local level with the domestic violence service providers, with the housing agency, with the local authorities, finding the land. Now, that is becoming much, much more quickly. It was kind of a learning process at the start when I'm assessing it. But I do think there's more to do there. But the final point on this is the other thing that we need to do in order to ensure that when they're built, that they can be used effectively, is to ensure that the housing options at the other end are there for people when they're leaving refuge accommodation.
And that's which is crucial. As well. Are we on track to meet the 280 by next year? 280 refuge spaces?
Yes, okay. We have a pathway for that by okay. next year, yes.
Can I ask you about the person you just mentioned earlier on, Natasha O'Brien, a really courageous woman. She's spoken on this programme and others about being beaten unconscious by soldier Cathal Crotty, who received a suspended sentence. She's spoken about how the justice system let her down, that the experience of going through the court was so traumatic. What is the takeaway message from all of that, and having listened to Natasha, for you?
Well, there's two parts of it. One for me is the same as everybody else. It's harrowing to hear Natasha speak and to think about what she's been through, and her family and her friends supporting her and helping her to stay upright in all of this. But for me, reflecting on it, which has been like really important, just in terms of the opportunity as a new CEO of this organisation, is to hear and listen to the public outcry that has resulted from Natasha's words. And I know that people will say there's been, you know, previous examples of this where there's been public outcry and what has happened as a result. But for me, observing the extent of public support and demand for state and society to do better to achieve zero tolerance, and the importance of that policy goal of zero tolerance is critically important. And the second thing is that, like, Natasha has lit a fire and the public are responding. And when you have a whole of government and a whole of society strategy, you need to build a movement to say that this is unacceptable. And Natasha has set that fire. And I'm working with some of the organisations, like, for example, the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre today, to say, how can we work with others to keep that fire lighting so it doesn't dwindle, so that we keep that fire in the belly of people to say, this just isn't, we just cannot tolerate this. And obviously we need to implement the strategy and an awful lot of actions kind of within it. But we need to put the voices of survivors and victims front and centre of our conversation so that we don't disconnect from it. Because that is, unfortunately, the lived reality for far too many people in this country.
If I was to talk to you, Stephanie, next year, on your way to achieving this goal of zero tolerance of sexual and domestic and gender-based violence, what would you want to point to in terms of a key achievements to say to me, look, we are on the way?
Well, I'd want to see that more women are coming forward and more victims and more male victims are coming forward in terms of accessing support services. And we'll be working with the services to make sure that there's a capacity pipeline there for those. We would like to see more people reporting these crimes to the Gardaí, because we know that a minority of them do. So we'd like to see evidence of that. And I would like to be able to say to you that we have a measure of zero tolerance and that we're measuring it. And I'd like to be able to say to you that when you look across those four pillars, we can identify two or three priority actions in those pillars, and we can see that it's having an impact. Or we can say, actually, that it's not having an impact and we need to take corrective action.
Well, I hope, and I'm sure the vast, vast majority of our listeners will agree that we all hope you achieve that aim of zero tolerance, because what we've heard in the last while is just sickening people, I think. Stephanie O'Keefe, the CEO of Cúan, the new domestic, sexual and gender-based violence agency, thank you very much indeed for joining us in the programme.